Well, thank you, Pastor Deanna and worship team, Pastor Don. Man, that's the way to start church, isn't it? Worshiping the Lord the way He deserves to be worshiped. Now listen, this wasn't planned, but I have to tell you, I kind of shared last time when you guys were on vacation a little bit of our history, but here's a little tidbit too. I thought I'd have some composure and strength today, but as they sang these songs, I was melting like a baby because some of these songs we sung at the church where that cross was when I was a little boy, but I left that church. I'm a lot younger than Don, and so, Pastor Don. So I was, no, I'm just kidding. But I left the church when I was about 8 years old. I'm not kidding. Okay, I'm being honest, yeah. But I'm being truthful, too, in saying that I left the church, and I wanted to leave it even as a little boy. You know how some of us get. But what I do remember is my both sets of grandparents attended that church faithfully and were very involved, as some of you were back in that day. And I just remember my grandfather, who sang about as good as I do, very bad, but he still sang out of joy for the Lord, these songs that Deanna picked, that the Lord laid on her to share with us today, that we could sing to Him. And but I ran and I ran, and some of you might relate to this. I ran away from God because I was in charge, you know, and He was going to take fun away from me. But I quit running when I was 33 years old, and a lot of it had to do because God loved us. God is love. Jesus wouldn't let go of me. He's coming after us, right? And because of faithful prayer warriors like grandparents. And so by the time I turned around and faced my Savior and said, "Yes, I receive you. Come in by faith into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of all that junk I live for, and I want to live for you and your ways." And then all of a sudden He broke my heart to where all those songs all of a sudden made sense. Can you relate to that? Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it, how God works? Whew, those are good songs. Sing it from your heart. Well, listen, as I think about how I got here, right here today, your bold and crazy pastor, Pastor Don, also called me and said, "Well, this time I'm going to be here. We're going to be here, but I still want you to preach." And I thought, well, okay, I'll deliver the message. And I started thinking in my head while he's still talking, I got some great stuff I've been working on, you know, that the Lord's been teaching me. And I already said yes, and then he goes, "Oh, well, I've been doing this expository preaching through Colossians." And then he goes, I stopped, and what I need you to do is start right at 3:18. Do you know what it says in Colossians 3:18? Wives, submit. Yeah, as a preacher, you're just on top of the world. You want to deliver that message. So I'm on top of the world, I got to tell you. So pray for me as I have some hate toward, no, dislike toward Pastor Don. One thing I want to share with you, too, I've got all kinds of these rabbit trails today as I've been here for an hour. And the first thing I heard when the doors close after practice, and how many of you weren't here for prayer? Be honest. I'm not going to beat you up because I wasn't in there to start with either. But listen to this. There were a few people in here for prayer, and all of a sudden I heard, how do you say it? Woo-hoo! So I got to tell you, there's something about us. We have a love because of our beginnings and then because of Jesus, what He's done in our lives. But Pastor Don, you know him better than I do, but he's going, woohoo! And that's exciting to me because I'm a wild and crazy weirdo too. And what I do when I get Pentecostal is I'll do this. I'm going to click my heels for Jesus, you see? So when you're getting tired and worn out or mad because ASU lost or because it's cold outside and you don't want it to be 34 degrees, I might have to do that if you're not going to be with me and stay awake, okay? A woohoo or a click in your heels. That's what I think about Jesus and His Word. So even though it's on submit, I'm tackling it with God's help, and we're going to get through it today. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so what happens is when the world, when we hear family, that's what we're going to talk about today, this Colossians 3:18. It's about how the family looks in a Christian household. But the first thing, if we dare to turn on the TV, and some of you have been there for turning the TV on for several years, there's such a thing as All in the Family with Archie Bunker. Remember that? Some of you younger folks might not remember, so we'll have to meet later, and us older folks can tell you about what we used to watch. But that was not the picture of a good family, the ones on the left. That's Archie and his family, and they used to fight and argue like crazy. I can relate to that. But then how about the other picture up there? Can you relate to Duck Dynasty? Now, they might be a little crazy, but they do love Jesus, don't they? And the thing that makes me click my heels is in the beginning of the show, they started closing the show with praying, you know, at the dinner table, and they said, you know, however they closed it, but they didn't say in Jesus' name. And so I'm going, oh, Lord, it's just like one of those other shows that Hollywood gets in the way of. And then finally they had the boldness to start praying in Jesus' name. I'm going, yes, and I'm clicking my heels because Hollywood wasn't going to stop them from doing what they're all about, right? They serve Jesus. So that's cool what we got when we start thinking about this idea of family. And so we're going to look at family. Family, basically, as we open the scriptures today, is a mama and a daddy and some kids, right? Or a kid. That's the basics of it. And I want to say this before I get too far along, too, because some of you think, well, I might be able to check out today. I don't have to listen to the preacher because I don't have a family. Never had kids. Maybe I'm single, whatever the case may be. But I want you to pay attention because what happens is if you dare to rub shoulders with this Jesus, he's going to want to involve you in his kingdom work. So that means you can help others that are in that position to be better at being husbands, wives, parents, kids. Amen? So let's all pay attention to what God has to say about this little section of Scripture. Now, what we're going to look at, too, when we eventually get to the Scripture, is this. And here's the beauty of it, Pastor Don, is I went ahead and reread Colossians 3 while they were doing their thing, practicing singing. You guys, how many were here for Pastor Don's teaching on the early verses on Colossians 3? If you weren't here, I'm sorry, because this is the most beautiful piece of Scripture. I mean, I say that about a lot of Scriptures. But what God did in the beginning of my walk with him in 1995 is he took me to Colossians 1 and 2 when I was a brand, maybe the first 2 weeks that I was a Christian. And it's like, if you read that and Pastor Don unfolded those Scriptures, it's like you could live on that for the first 2 years of your walk or where you're at right now, and you wouldn't need much more. There's a lot in there, isn't there? Precious Scriptures. Set your heart on things above. Set your mind on things above. And talking about the old and the new. And that's the beauty of it. We want to let go of the old and embrace the new that Christ died to give us. And like Deanna was hinting in her prayer and talk from the platform today, is I'm hooked on this word interim. You see, we just sung songs about, boy, when we finally get to the end of our life here on earth, we've got this promise of eternal life with Jesus and no pain and sin and all that stuff, right? But there's a lot of life to live before we ever get to that for most of us. Some of us aren't going to die today. Maybe none of us. So let's embrace what Jesus died to give us for the interim, the time here on earth. And part of it then, it's very important that we become, as individual Christians, rock solid, but also as husbands, wives, parents, kids. That's why it's important, because we live a lot of life now. And so if you're a music lover and you listen to some secular music, Michael Bublé sings a song, It's a New Way, right? And I'm feeling good. I thought it was some other word, but it's good. You like that? Yeah, so we're going to feel good today when we get done talking about submit and love and all this other stuff. Let's do this. Let's get right to the Scripture, and then we'll dissect it. You ready? And stand if you're able. I love that about Alan. Where are you? Yes, stand in respect to God's word today if you're able. If you're not, that's fine. Stay seated. But listen to this and read along with me. Colossians 3, 18 through 21. We're not going to do a whole lot of scripture today unless the Lord changes my mind. But it's on the screen if you don't have it in front of you. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. Read it with me. That's right. As is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. There's a lot in a few verses. Is there not? Have a seat, please. A lot of words, and here's the deal, you guys. I kind of slow down and do word studies. Now, how many of you were like, I like to be where I just want to zip through and say, I accomplished something. I read a lot of verses. I read through the Bible in a year. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? But there's also nothing wrong, and it's kind of important from time to time to slow down and find out what God really means in these portions of Scripture. And now, this is kind of funny coming from a guy like me. If you got to know me, you'd find that I raced cars. Some of you knew from the last time we visited. I played sports when the cars weren't available. And so life was just fast, fast, fast. And that's probably why I didn't slow down and get to know Jesus before I was 33 years old. But what happened is when I retired from racing, I had a retirement present. I got a quad, you know, a four-wheel ATV. And Deanna, We couldn't afford two, so she was going to have to ride on the back of it with me. But I had to swear, here's the marriage thing, I had to promise that I would not go fast and scare her, otherwise we wouldn't be riding and doing life together. So what I did is we liked to travel up to southern Colorado and ride in Ouray and Silverton and Durango, places like that you might have heard about. They've got all these mining roads. It's just beautiful. And me and my buttercup would ride on that ATV, and I'd go 8 miles an hour. Do you want to know that it's true? I looked at the, it's not a thermometer, it's a speedometer. I never had to use that either before. But listen, so I'm going 8 miles an hour, and I'm seeing things I never had seen in my entire life. You know, like God's creation? It was beautiful all of a sudden. Do you know that there were deer like 8 feet away too? When you go 8 miles an hour, they're only 8 feet away because they don't hear you coming, you know? So you're going. And so I was just amazed. And I tie that because not only was I enjoying life like never before with my wife, but I was enjoying God in the middle of his creation like never before and apologizing and saying thank you. And I do that with the Word of God, too. It's like, wow, I'm going to slow down. And let's take a minute rather than read over submit and find out what he really meant by that. Because what we're going to find, ladies, we're going to start with you, if that's all right, ladies first. And you're going, well, this time we'd rather it be men. But we're going to, number one today is this, pleasing the Lord as a wife, as a mother, from verse 18 that we read. And you know what? If you go and you slow down and you look at that word submit, wives submit, the Greek word, if I can even say it right, is hupotasso. And now I'm kind of weird because what that immediately had me think about was it sounds like hot potato. And isn't that really what the word submit is like for us in the world that we come out of? Submit. The first thing, it's a negative, right? The walls go up. And certainly we Christians over the last 100 years didn't do us any favors, men, because we would use it in the name of Jesus, wouldn't we? Submit, woman. Maybe you didn't see that in your homes, but I think many years ago, a lot of men, especially in the Christian realms, kind of took liberty with that word to say, I got my woman to submit in the way that the world sees it, in a perverted way. But if you think of it as a hot potato, we've got to change it because God does not intend for us to shut off, put our walls up, ladies, when we see the word submit. And if you'll hang with me and not shut me off today, I'm going to get to the men and we're going to even the score, okay? So here's the deal. Just real quick, on the meaning, what did God really mean when you see the word submit in there? When you expound on that, you see that it's being arranged under, it's about being subject to, it's about yielding to another. And what I like is it has a meaning of rank, like if you're familiar with the military, and how there's order so that there's success. And so you might have a general, he's over the private, or you've got enlisted under the officers. And so that's a little bit how God is talking through the Apostle Paul when he talks about submit. But listen to this too. We don't have to just land on submit, because if we want to follow and start reading all of the Bible, then we start to see other words too. To the wives. Wives, they also get words like love, like helpmate in Genesis. Pastor Don had to call me and go, Jeff, I think he was scared I might go the wrong way with submit, so he's trying to help me. Hey, look at Genesis, Pastor Jeff. But seriously, isn't that a beautiful word in the very beginning? When God gives Adam Eve, it's his helpmate. We're gonna look at that a little deeper here in a minute. But back to submit. Think about that, ladies. And it also is refreshing to know you don't have to submit to all men. It's about submitting to your husband. So we can leave that for a minute. Let's go on to another word. As is fitting in the Lord. So fitting. You're not going to do it necessarily. When you've got Jesus as your Savior, ladies, you're doing it as is fitting to the Lord. You're not doing it, per se, to your husband, for your husband, because many days you'll be going, well, he doesn't deserve it. But it's a deal in a relationship, a one-on-one, an intimacy, a knowledge of who Jesus really is, who your Savior is, who can become your Lord, that you can trust as you get to know him better. And that's the next word for ladies before we go on to the gentlemen, and that is in the Lord. The word in is big, and how many times would we just rush right past that word? In the Lord. It means in a relationship, not a religion. When you're in a real relationship with Jesus, you can actually take on these words that the world would say, are you nuts, lady? follow us. Let's go with the Kardashians. We don't need to do it the way that Bible talks about. But you can say, well, I'm in a relationship with this Lord and he's never let me down. He must mean something good for me if he's talking about a word submit. It's walking in the Spirit. Walking in that newness of life that Jesus died to give us. Rather than in our own strength like we talked about through the songs today. In the world. And here's the deal, ladies. Before I leave and go to the men, it's the new natural. You see? Because most of this interim that I'm talking about is where you're trying to make sure the old you stays dead. Because you can raise it up if you want. You can live with the old, even though you said yes to Jesus. But he died to give you new. And so this interim is a time where we're taking on, oh, really, Lord? That's what you meant by that. And then you embrace it. You take it. You trust him. By faith, you take it on and say, okay, Lord. I'm going to obey you while you transform me to where it all of a sudden it becomes a part of my DNA. Pretty cool stuff when it comes to this Jesus. But when you're going to fill out your outline, you need to put this in there. It's voluntary submission, okay? So it's not that old thing that I started with where the men, our husbands, are going, submit, woman! You know how it gets tense? It's great when you're on the mountaintop and you're all lovey-dovey, you're in the honeymoon stage. But what happens when the man thinks it's his job to tell you when it's time to submit? No, it's a voluntary submission. It's between you and God. Now, you don't necessarily want to blast past God, but as you get to know him and you hear the Holy Spirit whispering, it's time to submit. It's time to then you say, okay, Lord, I'll trust you. I'm going to do it. But here's a few things real quick when you're not going to submit, and that is when your husband's not able to lead due to illness or mental issues, things like that. Here's some more. It's when he's asking you to sin by submitting. No, 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 no. You follow the Lord. Or if they're mentally or physically or emotionally abusive. In this day and age, we've got a lot of that going on because basically we don't have any moral fabric in our world that we step out of and into the church when we say yes to Jesus. And so you don't place yourself under that. You don't submit to that. Or if your spouse is living in an adulterous affair. You step out from underneath that, and you've got God as your protector, your umbrella. So, you might be saying, some of you might be saying, well, what does that submission really look like in real life? Maybe we'll get to that after I talk about the husbands, okay? So let's do that first. Even though it's like a bummer of a day, it's like ASU lost, and now I got to come in here and listen to this pastor talk about submission. This is going to be great. Well, maybe it will. So let's go to men. Number two today is, it's so simple. It's, okay, now the men. Pleasing the Lord as a husband and as a parent. From verse 19. What does it say again in verse 19? Husbands. Love your wives. And? Harsh with them. Okay, so let's just stop there and do a little word study. I love the word love because I spent 33 years not loving. I was married before Deanna. My first wife, if she told me to do this, this would be love, I would do the opposite. Kind of weird, isn't it? But men, without Christ, will do some really weird things. And so I said, when I got saved, I said, okay, Jesus, I don't want man teaching me. I want you to teach me through your Spirit and your word what love really is. I'm sick of the way I used to live. And so here he says, husbands, love your wives. Don't blast past that word, gentlemen. Go on a journey with the Lord and find out what he means by that. For today, he's got a verb. And I love when you go to the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, and he talks about love. It's agape and agapeo. And that's one of the words we use in our family. I taught some of our kids, you know, when you're starting not to love right, just yell out agape. And so one of my stepsons is always saying agape, agape for love. And it means to love dearly. It means to put first one's affections. It's a sacrificial love. And I like this one. Listen to this. You pick your favorite way to describe what God means here, men, about love. And that is putting first the well-being of another. Putting first the well-being of another. It's a kind of sacrifice, you guys, that means when you're trying to practice this love and obey God, and then your mate is not responding, or maybe they're reacting to it, you don't take it back. Have you ever done that? I'm telling you, I was good at this too. I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to try you in this. And then the person that I was loving did not respond favorably. Maybe they didn't even notice. So I thought, well, I'm going to go back to the way I used to be, right? I'm going to take back those old habits that I used to have. Those were my defense mechanisms so I could survive in this life. Can you relate? Yeah. The love that Jesus is talking about here has nothing to do with how they respond to your act of love. So bank that, will you? So let's do this. We've got a few verses I want to use with you just to show you the value and the importance of what love is to God. So they'll be up here fast. You can read them with me, starting with John 17:24. If we have that, it says, Father, I want those, Jesus is saying, you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. That's some kind of love, huh? Between the Father and the Son in the Godhead. And then John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, Jesus said, so I have loved you, now remain in my love. That's how Jesus feels about us. And then we've got a few more. 1 John, we go to the little book of John, as some people call it. 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God because, yeah, that's the biggie, isn't it? God, if God is love, shouldn't he be the one showing us what real love is? Beautiful. And then 1 Peter, we got the Apostle Peter talking to us here. 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Peter saw him with his own eyes, rubbed shoulders with him, hugged him, all of that, huh? But he's talking to an audience just like us. We didn't get to see him and touch him yet. But somehow, some way, those early Christians fell in love with this Jesus. We too, somehow, supernaturally, with someone we can't touch and feel, yet we fall deeply in love with them. That's some kind of love, isn't it? Okay, so here's the deal. When I thought about that word, I went back to a movie called Fireproof. Do you remember that? Did anybody see it? Did anybody not see it? Okay, listen to this, you guys, girls too. In Fireproof, Kirk Cameron, who was a popular secular movie star, got saved, and now he's doing all these cool Christian movies. He's the star of the show, and he is not loving his wife very well. He's into pornography and other things, treating her bad, and she's had enough, and pretty soon the guys at work are starting to notice her, and they don't care that she has a ring on her finger, if you get what I mean. And so Kirk's in the movie, Kirk's parents are Christians, and his dad is trying to speak to him to try to save that marriage. Hang in there, son. Here's a love dare book. Here's a devotional. If you'll just do this devotional toward your wife, you'll start to see a difference. And so here he's going to try. Okay, I'll try. You know how some of us are in the beginning phases of trying something new. And so he's trying to love her, and just like I hinted at earlier, she's not responding. And you know how we get in the flesh. Well, heck with this. I'll go back to my old ways. Well, he calls his dad. He drives over. And they're walking behind the house, and there's a campground, and there's a cross. Must be behind a church. And so they're walking, and Kirk's position in the movie is saying, I've done this, and I've done that, and she hasn't responded, and blah, blah, blah. And then his dad's walking beside, and he comes up, and there's a cross in the scene, and he's basically leaning upon it. And Kirk is going, and Dad, I just can't. I can't do this. And his dad goes, well, son, that's right. You can't. You can't. You see, that's day 19 in that devotional. And I read that devotional after watching the movie. And I got to day 19 and I thought, this is incredible. You guys got to get this if you never got it yet. This agape love thing, you can't manifest it. You can't make it. Do you understand that as Christians? Even though we're noble and we love Jesus and you think you're going to do what he says, he gives you marching orders, you can't do the love that he's talking about here. That's why I brought up agape. Agape is divine love. So it means the wonderful privilege of a Savior that would die for you, and it's a pure love, is he does it for you. So you, if you can imagine, gentlemen and ladies too, you're hanging on, spiritually speaking, to this Jesus by his Spirit, by your faith, by his living word that Don preaches out of like crazy and believes in. And it's through that obedience and that relationship with Jesus that supernaturally the things that he tells you to do unto your wives, now all of a sudden you're doing. You can do because he's doing it through you. And that's what I thought when I got to day 19. I remember when I read it and where I read it. We were in Sedona at that time between churches. And I thought, Lord, I needed that because I've tried for years to love out of my own strength and I can't do what my wife needs, especially in round two. I'm married for the second time and I'm still not getting it. But Jesus, isn't that cool, you guys? Ladies, aren't you loving me now that I'm so hard on the guys? Yeah. It's a God-generated love. A verse before one we read in 1 John 4:8, 4:7 says, love comes from God. And so that's a beautiful revelation of how we can do what God's asking us to do. And it started for me when I read the beginning of that trek to where Jesus is putting the green light, where you're having aha moments. Aha, I see what you mean, Lord. Aha. Started way back in 1995 when I read Colossians 3, 1 and 2. You guys study that. When you give them your mind, when you give them your heart, that's the start. Okay? Now anything can happen. He's got your attention. And so, gentlemen, I'm going to be a little hard on you here for a minute, and that's this. If you're not loving your wives that way, then you say you're a Christian, you're sinning. Okay? There's that word most churches won't even use anymore. We'll use some, you know, cotton candy words. Oh, we better not say sinner. Nobody will come into the church, and then we don't have tithes, and then we're not open, and I can't get paid. And it's sin. That's what Jesus died to deliver us from so we could have a relationship with a holy God. Not some God people make up that can be anything we want and we don't have to change. It's the purest God. You just check him out and see compared to all the other gods that are proclaimed in this world we live in. That's the beauty of it. He's the God of love. He is love. And so I want to give you an example really quick from Deanna in my life. Is that okay? All right. So I'm going to spring it on her. Listen to this, both men and women, before we get to the parents and the children thing. And that's this. Deanna and I. So I said I failed in my first marriage. And basically, I was learning how to love in that last 4 years of an 18-year marriage. But I did so much damage in the beginning of it that she couldn't do it. So God bless her, and she's doing better and all of that in her life. And so here I was ready to love again. And that's what I said. I'm not a quitter. And then I met this girl, and she said, well, I'm not a quitter either, you know. And I love Jesus. Hey, I love Jesus. And so we've got a great foundation. And then you get to the vows, you know, and what do you say?
I love you till death do us
part. Yeah, and we meant it. But then in that first year, because we've been independent and alone for a while and got some life under us, you know, we start ticking each other off. She's tested first, and she wants out. And I thought, well, good. Go ahead and leave, because I'm not a quitter, but leave, because I'd like you to leave too, you know. But then she's trying to leave. She leaves the house, you know, gets in the car, and the Holy Spirit speaks. If you really love Jesus and you want to hear his voice, he says, turn around. And for her, not just turn around, but here's the verse I want you to focus on for many months, and I want you to fast and pray, not just pray, but fast. Well, then all of a sudden, she starts treating me nice. I don't deserve to be treated nice, so I'm thinking, what gives? Now we get into a little conflict resolution or conflict that we can't resolve. And so I want to leave. So I'm going to leave because I can't make her leave. So I leave and I get in the truck and I'm going to leave. And then the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Turn around. You said you love me. Turn around. So I turn around. Okay, God told me I got to come in here and I got to figure out a way to fix it. Remember that? Many times, not just once, huh? And so each time in the many times, you guys, God would say, I want you to work on your words. So the first time you turn around, don't use any words. And then the next time he said, listen, if it comes to that point, because you're not perfected yet in this conflict resolution, if it comes to that point and you're going to leave for a minute, tell her, I'm going to be gone 1 hour, but I will be back. You see, because if you start to care like that love word, where you put their feelings first, them first, you care more about them even in the fight. And so if I cared and looked into her life, you know, she lost every important man in her life before she was 12 years old. Her daddy passed away. Her stepdaddy died. An uncle that was important to her died. So for me to say I'm leaving, that crushes her. And so am I going to love her and care more about that than I am about winning in a fight or wanting to get out of this marriage? So he said, turn around. And this time, if you have to leave because you haven't learned how to resolve the conflict, at least let her know when you're coming back. And then he'd teach you the next thing. Use less words. This time use no words. Use these words instead of those old words. You get it, men? We're pretty good with words, aren't we? That kind of leads to the next word that I want to talk about in our section, and that's harsh. Don't be harsh with them, because men, aren't we good? I mean, we take our survival skills from the world and at work and everything else, from the military, wherever we've been in this world, and we bring it into our marriages, and then we want to do this. The same thing we do at work to work our way up the corporate ladder and make sure nobody takes advantage of us, we do to our spouses, right? Get them in their place, and then I'll feel good about myself. Yeah, I got a marriage. It's good. What happened? She left me. Guess you weren't paying attention. You had her snuffed out so you could feel good. Men, we can't be harsh with our wives. You can't be harsh. So here's the deal. What we've been talking about on this love is it's where our DNA is going to change, because we consecrate ourselves. We lay ourselves moment by moment, by the day, under the Lord, say, have your way, Lord, not my way, but your way. We don't sanctify ourselves. He sanctifies us. He does the transforming. Only when we're laying ourselves before him, gentlemen, women, you could pay attention to. And all of a sudden, in our obedience then, we're going to obey even though we don't feel like it. You understand? We're going to obey him and do what the word says and beg him to hurry up with the transformation part, where he makes that a part of our DNA. That's called Christ-likeness. That's called righteousness, you see. He will honor your obedience. And then he'll transform me. And next thing you'll know, I'm dealing with other things with my wife, not the things that I started with, because he's transformed that part. It's a beautiful thing. It gets better. Okay. So I'm all over the place. Ladies, I need to come back to you if you're ready. Are you ready? So here's the whole thing. If you take the word submit, ladies, and men, you take your word love, and then you're starting to try it, like you've never tried it before in your marriages, you're going to get to that part where Kirk Cameron got up by the cross. Here's the thing that's going to transform your life. When you say these two words and write it down, those are the blanks. I can't. It's really under the husbands, but it's for both. I can't. That's where I got. I got that way with my marriage. I got that way where we're going to talk about kids, where I stunk at raising my child. And then I had round two where I had grandkids. I go, Lord, now I'm a Christian. I'm not going to do it like I did with my daughter. And then I was tempted where I was getting ratcheted up and I didn't know how to handle this little child. And I reached out to the Lord, who I didn't have in the relationship with my daughter. And I said, Lord, I'm about to do what I did with my daughter. What do I do? And he poured into me and he gave me the strength and the thing to do at that moment that settled the child down when I had the child just to myself. And supernaturally, God took care of it. You see, I depended on him, because in the truck where I was traveling with my first grandson, I go, God, I can't do this. Gentlemen, I mean, I might be getting excited, but I hope you get it, because I'm tired of cotton candy trying to please my audiences when God gives me a place to speak in the name of Jesus, and unfold his word, his living word of God. But we need to be people. Do you know we'll start to smell good? You'll benefit from it. Husbands, wives, your families are going to be fantastic. But then the greater thing, like Pastor Don prays about in the prayer time, is it's not all about you. It's about people that don't know Jesus yet. And you'll start to taste that, and they're going to smell you, and they're going to say, you smell good. What is it that you have on for deodorant? Spiritual deodorant. I need some of that. You'll tell them it's not right guard, it's Jesus, right? And you'll tell them how to get there and have the hope of Christ. So here's the deal, real fast. I see this before we get on to the parents, or to the parenting and the children, husbands and wives, and those of you that aren't, and you can help those that are trying to be husbands and wives. It's like a snowball. This is how Chuck Smith, I think it was, the founder of Calvary Chapel, painted the picture. Men, if we'll start the process, the snowball, by loving our wives with God's help, they'll respond and they'll start saying, I can trust that guy now. I'm going to submit. So they start to submit, and you look at it and go, hey, this is pretty cool. I think I'll love her even more. It's easy to love all of a sudden, because now she's submitting to my leadership. Boom. Boom. Now it's getting bigger and bigger. And you might... we'll talk about that in a minute. There might be a little setback before it gets to be a bigger snowball. But don't forget, you're going to get some kickback from those that you journey with that aren't Christians that are living in the world. And they'll be saying, you should turn MTV back on. You should turn the Kardashians back on and learn what marriage is all about. This Jesus is not telling you right. That ain't going to work for you. Love, submit, are you kidding? Yeah. The thing we need to remember, though, as Christians, you guys, is that our divorce rate in Christianity is about where the secular world is. So this is why this is so passionate for me to talk to you, whether it's yours or you're helping someone else. We've got to change that tide. And this is how. Take Jesus at his word and reap the benefits. Quit having mediocre relationships. It's not what he died to give us. And I'm not about it. And I praise God that she's not about it. It's fantastic, isn't it, dear? Okay. Well, I said we'd talk about how does it look to submit. Here's one thing before we go on, and that's this. So that submit word still might have you, okay? But men, we can help on that too. Because if I go back to what Pastor Don shared with me about Genesis and the helpmate word, listen, here's the deal. Just like in the military, just because I was enlisted in the Air Force didn't mean that major, that officer over me was smarter than me all the time. Just because he had a college degree didn't make him smarter than me when it had to do with making that airplane fly. But he was over me so that there was no chaos and there was order. And there had to be respect. And so in the marriage too, husbands, if we will see them as our co-equals and realize they have a brain, and most of the time they're smarter than us, more intelligent, more gifted in other areas. If you'll take that and embrace it instead of being intimidated by it, and then take them into the think tank with you on how to lead your home, then you go, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? How should we handle this? What should we do with the kids? How should we punish the kids? You see? Don't you think your wife is going to submit to that kind of leadership versus the kind we see in the world? And many times, get this, you might defer to the wife and say, you call the shot here. Because really what we're talking about, if this is the purest kind of love and submission the way God wants the marriage to be, the only time this comes into effect is when you have to pull a trump card, like you just can't agree on a situation. You've tried to communicate the best way you know how, but both of you don't agree on what the decision should be. And so somebody has to make the decision, and there you go, gentlemen. You're going to have to make the decision. But you remember, if you're doing it into the Lord and unto the Lord, you've got to answer to him. And so you want to please him with your decision. And she will trust you with that decision. She'll go, oh, well, I think my way is right, but I'm going to trust you, Lord, with my husband because I know he loves you and is trying to follow you to the best of his ability. And it works out. It works out. Okay. Here's the thing. Boy, I keep saying we're going to eventually get to the kids, but listen to this. This has to be shared too. If you ever watch Bill O'Reilly, he says, caution, you're about to enter the no-spin zone. You ever heard that? Whether you like him or not, that's a pretty cool saying. Caution, you're about to enter the no-spin zone. So here's a warning, you guys. If you're going to try it today, you're going, yeah, Jesus, under your breath. Or you might even be nudging your wife saying, I'm going to try this today. I'm going to start being different. Be careful. Whether wives are, you're saying, I'm going to take God at his word like never before. Husbands, I'm going to try it, Lord. Be careful. Because what's going to happen? See, you haven't been doing that for years. However long you've been married, you haven't tried it. So now all of a sudden you're going to try it. What do you think the response is going to be from your spouse? Yeah, who is this guy? Who is this girl? I'm going to just react. I'm not going to respond just because it's too new. I think he wants something. There's an ulterior motive, right? Think about that. Whenever you tried something new before, it's going to be that way too. When you're going to go, Jesus, I'm going to try it your way. So be ready for that. And what I like is don't turn back to Egypt. You know, in the Old Testament, how it gets tough in the wilderness. They go, I just want to go back to slavery. Well, don't go back to your old ways of doing things or your old flesh or whatever else. Just recognize before it ever happens. Hey, this is new. I might not get the response I want. So I got to keep doing it and find new ways with the Lord's help to say why I'm changing. I'm not trying to get anything from you, Buttercup. I'm doing it because I want to please the Lord. So keep that in mind, okay? Now we can go to number 3, which is pleasing the Lord as a child, as a kid in the household, you know, underage, under our authority as parents. We got some kids in that today, or are they all in Sunday school? Some of you stay in here like I used to. There's a few. Okay. Obey means obey. Sorry. Obey. Do we get that? It means to listen. Like when mom and dad are given some marching orders, you're going to listen. And you're going to do what they say. And you know, it's along the lines. I don't want to spend a lot of time because I've already done that on husbands and wives. But it's a lot like the submission word. You're going to submit to the authority of your parents. And that's about as much as I'm going to say to kids, because I'm going to take it back to the parents. It's more about the parents, you know? It's more about how you're going to be a godly parent, which will cause them the ability to obey. They're going to watch how you do it as a husband and wife. They're going to begin to see the difference in mom and dad, even if they're not explaining it to you. It might be a subconscious thing in a child as they're watching you live for the Lord and doing things right. But don't make your kids, now that I'm back to husbands and wives, parents, do not make them religious robots. That's the first thing as Christians we're going to do. I'm going to teach them the word. They're going to be intellectual geniuses. They can quote every scripture, right? That's a wonderful thing, but that's not the end all, okay? You've got to show them how you don't have a religious relationship with Jesus. You have a relationship. And when you have a relationship with them, they're going to see that, and they're going to understand, I can take this intellectual knowledge about Jesus and know him, and then experientially I'm watching my parents and other great loved ones on how to live it with Jesus. And now your child all of a sudden can obey. But if you turn them into religious robots, we're not much better than at raising kids than the world is without God. So it says, husbands, parents, don't embitter your children. You know, I think we, a lot of us have failed in that area. You know, just like with our wives. If we're not feeling good about ourselves, especially men, some women sometimes, moms and dads, will suppress our children for the sake of making us feel like we're really a parent. And that's not how Jesus wants us to be in a Christian home. And what I was thinking about was, we've got extremes. We've got Dr. Spock. I didn't do a lot of studying, so I might be off and I can be forgetful. But you've got Dr. Spock on one side that might have been the one that said, do never spank your children. You got the Bible that says, don't spare the rod, right? And then you got Adrian Peterson. How many know who he is? Sports. Sorry, I keep bringing up sports. But listen, folks, if you're not into sports, I love the Minnesota Vikings, and Adrian Peterson's a great running back. And if you watch the news, he got in trouble and he can't even play football because he took whips or off of trees, switches, and he'd beat his kids with them. So you got that where he thinks it's okay because it says in the Bible, don't spare the rod, right? And you got Dr. Spock that says, just be friends with your kids. Reason with them. They don't have the ability to reason at certain ages. Somewhere in between, I think, is what God means. What do you think? What do you think if we nail that relationship with Jesus? We'll understand when we go to the scriptures that say, you can discipline your children. What that really looks like. What does he mean in the moment? Pull out the paddle right away? No. Here's the deal. Experientially, last night Deanna and I were at a restaurant in the village of Oak Creek called Pagos. It's an Italian place. Generally, it's a nice, quaint place for couples, dating, and marriages and all that. But we brought 10 kids in there. Not the oldest was 11. Most of them were a lot younger than that. And do you know they acted wonderfully? It was amazing to watch. And here, most of the parents of those children were our young adults back in the day when we used to live in Sedona. And even before I was a pastor, when we were lay leaders, we led the young adults. So these guys have had boatloads of kids. And I watched one, Mama. Her little girl was getting ramped up, and before she even let out her, yeah, or whatever she was going to do and have a hissy fit, she goes, come on, we're going to the car. And she knew exactly what that meant. Evidently, she'd been there before. And it wasn't long. She didn't have tears or pouting when she came back. She was a breath of fresh air, wasn't she? And then I watched another one do a similar thing. It's like, it was incredible. I think that's what Jesus means. But you need his help. We need his help by the moment. How do we do it? And don't just say, because I'm the man and I'm the leader, I'm going to figure out how we're going to discipline our children, Buttercup. You find out what she thinks, and you come together, and you keep talking it through, communicating. We've got to wrap this up, because I got to go see some of those grandkids and stuff a little later today. And I know you've got a life, too. And so in what I call closing of a sermon, I call it the wrap. We're going to wrap things up. So here's the thing that's refreshing to me. When you think about Jesus, he's the one that's basically inspiring Paul and others in the Bible to tell us these things, right? These things that can't be destroyed by atheists or anybody else that thinks it's terrible. But it's Jesus, it's that Jesus that had been there and done that. He did it. Everything he's asking us to do, he did. When he came to earth and he left his deity in heaven and he put on flesh and dwelt among us, he had a relationship with God the Father. And he respected and submitted, he obeyed his Father all the way to the cross, right? He loved exactly the way he's asking us to love each other. He even loved us when we were yet his enemies. And so if he's been there, he's done that, I think he's worth listening to and following. And so in the end today, folks, I want to take you to an Old Testament scripture. It's back when they were rebelling and misbehaving and wondering, you know, how are we ever going to get out of this? And now Isaiah the prophet is speaking and how wonderful it could be in the promised land. In the promised land, so many times when you look at it, the Old Testament, you think of eternity, but it's not eternity. It was the interim, that there was going to be a land flowing with milk and honey and all that. Yes, in eternity, but in the here and now, in the physical, they were going to have that. And so read that with me if you would. It says, yeah, you ready? The fruit of the Spirit, its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. We sang about peace today, didn't we? So if you're filling out the blanks on your in your bulletin, in your program, that's the important one to fill out. A holy household has peace. That's the proof that you're heading in the right direction with your family, with mama and dada, with your kids, husbands and wives. There's peace. Now, it doesn't mean it's always there, but how fast do you want to get back in line with the Lord so that the peace returns? I tell you, when you start tasting peace that comes from heaven, you're going to want more and more of it. More and more. By His Spirit, peace. And the question then, there's always a challenge when you read God's Word. And listen, just because I get to open my mouth, don't think I haven't been challenged. The minute Pastor Don put this on my plate, and I went before the Lord and said, oh Lord, how do I deliver this message? It was for me first. Okay? So the question is this, is there peace in your home? That's the blank. Is there peace in your home? If not, why not? Right? If not, why not? And again, if you're not a mom and a dad, if you're not in a family of your own, if you're single, it's so important. People could use you to come alongside them, to be a discipler, like Suzanne talked about in prayer today. What a privilege that God calls us to walk alongside each other. Let's pray. Will you join me? Father God, as we try to wrap up and make sense of what this simple scripture is, we need your help, Holy Spirit. I'm praying, Father, that as you poured into me as I prepared and that you changed my life first, and at the same time you're working in me, you caused a couple that we knew and have been married for 10 years that we thought was successful in their walk with you, in their marriage, in their family. They were just at a crossroads of wondering if they should give up. And you let us minister to them using the same scriptures that we looked at today from you. And they turned around. The light came on again. Father God, I pray that if somebody needs the light to come on today in their individual walk with you, in their families, in their marriages, that today's the day that hearts and minds are open to receive your light and your life and to allow you to take out the garbage that we've put in and to let you fill us up to overflowing so that it can flow into our marriages, into our children, our families, and into the other places that you take us throughout the week. Lord, I just pray that you minister to each one as you know they need. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you have our answers. Thank you that this life that I call interim is worth living, and you want us to live it to the full. So will you help us, Father, as we open ourselves up to you in new ways like never before. Even if we've been longtime Christians, it's a new day. Let us live it with you. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.